Lord, we know that blessing comes when we rest on Thee, when we trust in Thee, our shield and our defender. And we thank You that You're a God who loves us, who wants to keep us looking to You and trusting in You. Would You speak truth into our hearts, we pray. Help me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great news, isn't it, that God loves us. He loves His people. And the way that He loves us often is to warn us to keep us. God warns us to keep us trusting in Him. So our parents who grew up used to say things like, don't touch that, it's hot. Or don't drink that, it's poisonous. Or don't walk on that street, it's dangerous. They warned us to keep us safe. I forgot on birthdays as a little boy. I used to love getting cards from my family. And the first thing I'd do, I'd open the envelope and I'd go like this. And it was a wonderful moment when money floated down. And my parents used to warn me, saying, Steve, you've got all this money from your family. Careful you don't lose it. They warned me so I didn't lose the money that I was given. Now imagine you had an inheritance. Auntie Beryl has died and you get a message from the solicitor saying, good news. I'm very sorry for your loss, but good news. Auntie Beryl's left you £1 million. What an inheritance. And a friend says to you, they know that you're a bit sort of overspender. And they say to you, after saying sharing is caring, they say to you, look, you know how you like to spend. Be careful not to lose all that money. Use it wisely. They warn us because they love us to help us. Well, friends, God loves us. And He warns us to keep us trusting in Him. And the question this morning is this. How good are you at listening to the warnings of the God who loves you? He warns us to help us to keep trusting in Him. In our reading today from Jeremiah, God, through His prophet Jeremiah, gives a loving warning. A loving warning to His people in Judah. God loved these people. Remember, He had saved them from Egypt in slavery. They'd been redeemed, brought through the land, 40 years. They got to the promised land. But the problem was this. They were drifting away from the Lord and trusting in men, trusting in their own flesh, and not trusting in the Lord. They loved the promised land so much. It was beautiful. And yet they're in danger of forgetting the Lord who had saved them and given it to them. And just as God loved His people then, so He loves His people now. We know that He has rescued us and redeemed us from judgment and hell through the loving gift of God, through the gift of Jesus Christ, His Son, to bring us to know Him and give us the sure hope of our promised land, the new heaven and new earth. What a gift. What an inheritance. Much better than the one from Auntie Beryl. And God loved His rescued people then, in Jeremiah's day, and He loves His rescued people now so much that He warns us about the dangers of losing all that He gives us. Now, I do believe that once you're saved, you are always saved, always in the grip of Jesus. But the way He keeps us is by warning us in His grace to hold fast to Him, to keep us safe forever. So look at the warning He gives in verse 4 about the danger of losing not birthday money or Auntie Beryl's money, but actually of losing the inheritance God had given them. Look at verse 4. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger and it will burn forever. Can you see the warning? For your own fault, you will lose your inheritance. Your inheritance of the land, of the blessing of being God's people in God's place under His blessing. And He warns them that they could be taken and taken to exile to another land, far from home. That's a shocking warning, isn't it? Through your own fault, you will lose your inheritance. They then could lose everything if they ignore the loving warnings of God. So can you see, friends, in this passage, God warns us to keep us. How does he do that? Well, he does that by showing us there's two ways to live. Two ways to live. Now, when I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking, is anybody in the church called Bob? And I couldn't think of anyone, but there's three people called Bob. But, sorry, Bob. But there's Bob the Bush, verse 6. Can you see that? And there's Tina the Tree in verse 8. Two ways you can live your life. Like Bob the Bush, verse 6, or Tina the Tree, verse 8. That's the choice that God's people back then were faced with. And even now, the question is, who are you going to be like, friends? The bush or the tree? And one picture shows us what it's like to ignore God's warning, the bush, not to be blessed, but to be cursed by God. The other, the tree, shows us what it's like to listen to and obey God's warnings. That is the way of the blessings of God, the blessed life. And friends, if you're like me, as we follow Jesus, aren't you aware of the daily battle between those two ways of living? Trusting men, trusting the Lord. Trusting myself, trusting the Lord. And the Lord knows us. Look at verse 9 where it goes. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Don't you feel that? That inner person, that inner voice, it deceives us. It tricks us into thinking that our way and not God's way is the best. Our hearts, our inner voice, tempt us to think that we know better than God, that joy and happiness is found elsewhere apart from Him. Do you ever feel that battle in your heart? I do. Every day. That battle on the inside. And so easily we can just drift away from the Lord as we stop listening to and loving Him. Well, Jeremiah the prophet, speaking to God's people back then, is speaking to us now and saying, wake up to the battle. The battle for your heart. Wake up and see the danger of listening to yourself or listening to other people who make you doubt and question God's ways. And make you miss out on true joy, true blessing, found in the Lord. And that's why Jeremiah shows us these two pictures. Bob the bush, he stands for people who will not be blessed, who will be cursed. Let me read that verse to you. Verse 5. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. What's happened in this person's heart? What's going on inside? Well, instead of trusting the Lord, they listen to the inner voice who says, my ways are the best ways. I'm following the crowd. I'm blending in. I'm doing what everybody else is doing. I'm not trusting God and His promises. I can manage without the Lord. And their heart, bit by bit, turns away from the Lord. It can be slow, but it can become hard. And if you do that, you will not be blessed by God eternally, but cursed. Look how verse 6 describes it. It is a horrible picture. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. A bush in a wasteland, a desert. That bush might look healthy and alive. But where is it? It's in the wasteland. It's parched. It means there's no water, no rain for refreshment. In fact, the place where it lives is a salt land. Did you see that? Not a place where things prosper and grow. Just think about your own mouth when you've eaten too much salty bacon and you're desperate for water. Imagine not having any water to deal with your thirst. No relief. Unquenchable thirst. Ghastly. That's what it feels like for Bob the Bush. You look pretty bushy, but it's ultimately hopeless. The bush needs water and shade to thrive, but it's too hot, too salty. No one to help Bob and water them, because verse 6, no one lives there to help him. He's isolated. He's on his own. It's a really grim picture, isn't it? Well, it's a picture that God paints to Jeremiah of being cursed by God, of being punished by him eternally, not thriving, not prospering, no refreshment. I feel thirsty just thinking about Bob the Bush, don't you? This is life separated from being blessed by God forever. It sounds like a living hell, doesn't it? No relief. This is the destiny of those who refuse to trust the Lord or turn away from the Lord. Think of that parable in Luke 16. There's Lazarus who's ignored the Lord in his life and he's cast into hell. And he says to Abraham in heaven, have pity on me and send Lazarus from heaven, who was the poor man at the gate, at the table, to dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue. For the man in hell, there was no relief. Thirst wasn't quenched. Now, what's the point of this frightening picture of Bob the Bush? Well, friends, it's this. The point is God warns us to keep us. He loves us. He warns us, like your parents warned you not to do this or that or the other. We should read that and think, I don't want to be like that bush. I just don't want to be like that bush. Now the point is, and all our art's been celebrating this week, to be like the tree. Tina the tree or Ted the tree. Verse 7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They're blessed because they trust in the Lord. Their confidence is in the Lord, not in their inner voice or the distractions of others and the voices of others, not the ideas and thoughts of the world around them. Their confidence is in him. You see, when our joy is in the Lord, when our confidence is in him, then as all our art's work shows, there is blessing. And his life eternal. That's the picture. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a growing tree. It sends down its shoots and roots towards the life-giving stream of water. When it gets hot, it's not afraid of the heat. It has the waters of life that keep it flourishing and green. When drought comes, no problem, its roots are deep enough to receive life from water underground and the stream. And it's fruitful. If it's an olive tree, it will bear fruit of olives. If it's a lemon tree, it produces whopping big lemons. This is a picture of abundant life. They're secure in tough times and leads us forward to glory. I wonder, does this picture remind you of Jesus' words in John 15 that we looked at last year? Jesus says, he is the vine, we are the branches, and if we remain in him and his words in us and his truth in us, then his life flows into us. This is the picture of the blessed life. Trusting Jesus as Lord and Saviour and keeping on trusting in him as Lord and Saviour. Friends, God warns us to keep us. And these two pictures are given by the Lord God because he knows our hearts. He knows my heart and how prone I am to wander away from the well of life, from the Lord of life. I wonder how we put this into practice day by day. How do we maintain that trusting life in the Lord? Well, surely it's in dependence on him, as we've been doing over the last few weeks. When you think about what it means to ask the Lord, who can do immeasurably more. The Lord's Prayer, think of last weekend. We pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Maybe you're facing particular battles right now that you know are pulling you away from the Lord and his ways, and you need to say, Lord, deliver me. I depend on you. I trust in you. I want to live the blessed life. Help my heart not to grow hard and cold and to wander from you. It's allowing his word daily to shape us so we feed on his truth, daily manna from God that keeps and guards our hearts. Fellowship with each other week on week and in small groups. All these means of grace that keep us. Sad thing is, friends, that actually these two pictures were given from Jeremiah to his people in Judah. And they hardened their hearts. They actually lost everything. They were taken into exile. They lost their land and their home and the blessing of God. They were taken back as slaves by their enemies. And they did not see the gift of God, their inheritance, as precious. And they were cursed and taken away from the land. Their hearts got hard. Have a look at verse 1, where Jeremiah describes the hearts of God's people. Judah, as God's people's sin, is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts, on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and astral poles. Can you see what's happened to their heart? It's like it's been tattooed, chiseled away with their sin. And that's driving them forward. Look at the impact on their families, their kids. Verse 2, their kids have seen the way that they're turning from the Lord, and it's affecting them too, and they are cast out of the land into exile. It's a great warning, isn't it? It's a great warning. Friends, are we listening? Am I listening to the warning? Our heart is so deceitful. To hear the Lord who loves you this morning, whose son bore our curse for you on the cross so you could be forgiven for your faithlessness and your wandering heart and be given the blessed life forever. Friends, do not drift from the Lord who loves and saves you. The God who loves you warns you to keep you, and he wants you to live the blessed life. Don't be like the bush. Be like this tree, trusting the Lord now and forever. Let me pray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, we do feel it. We are easily deceived by our hearts. And yet we thank you that you're a God who loves us, who keeps us by warning us. Thank you so much that the Lord Jesus has paid for the curse of our sin on the cross, that he's offered us the blessed life that leads to eternal life. Help us have our confidence in him. Help us to hear these warnings, to hold fast to Christ, to depend on you, Lord, through prayer and in your word, to use the gift of your grace of this church family to keep us. For your glory and our great good. In Jesus' name, amen.